If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to ask that you keep them handy. We'll be looking at a few more passages this morning than we normally would, but they're important, and we're going to try to tie them all together. Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, as we consider this time, as we hear the message that is brought, help it to be the message that you want heard today. Help it to be the message that speaks to the heart. Help it to be transformative. But most importantly, help it to be faithful to your word. This we ask in your name. Amen. Intermissions prepare us for the end in store. Think about that for a second. Intermissions prepare us for the end in store. Now, I remember, and I'm going to date myself, but I remember going back to the movies, and you would have, particularly when it was a longer movie, about halfway through, what would happen? Intermission. Now, you don't see that anymore. But you'd have an intermission. Well, that was a great time to go get something to eat and all that kind of stuff. Well, I have very fond memories of intermissions at the movie theater in Henderson, North Carolina. We would go as a family to some of these movies that were long. And my mother, she came prepared. I can still see those white shirt boxes that she took into the theater with sandwiches. So everybody else is going back and getting other stuff. We were eating sandwiches. We had a good time. I love that. I remember that. I think about that when I think about intermissions. I also think about a woman who would climb up into a tree to cut off a limb, get on top of a ladder. She did not fall off, but she was spunky. I also remember a woman that had warmed up the car to take us to school one day, and it slipped out of gear. And, of course, there was a creek that divided the house and the driveway, and there was a bridge, and then there was a plank. Now, we always took the plank because that was quicker. And in those days, I could run and do it. Now, I would not dare try it right now. I know what would happen at that point. But one day, that car got out of gear, and it started to move. And so my mama sees it, and she goes out of the house, takes a couple of steps off that bridge and jumps into the car because the door was open, into the car as it's going down into the creek. That would have been a time if I'd had a cell phone or a camera. That would have been beautiful to see the expression. Now, she wasn't hurt, but she went down with the ship in that. But it was a humorous and could have been a bad, but it was an interesting event. I tell you this story because they're intermissions. Important things happen in intermissions and in unexpected events. And we remember them, and they make an impression upon us. And so this morning, what we have is a pause. We had one earlier in the book of Revelation between the sixth and seventh seal. There was a pause. And you have the story about the 144,000, the Jewish believers, and then also the martyrs. You had that taking place during that intermission. Now we're looking at an intermission between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet. And in this intermission, we will see a very important experience. You see, if you look at Revelation chapter 10, and if you want to be turning into chapter 10 and looking at verses 1 through 4, you will see a description of a mighty angel. This mighty angel descends from the heavens. This mighty angel has a cloud about it. Now, when we think about clouds real often, clouds can be a symbol of judgment. And so this angel, which is descending, this messenger, which is descending, has this cloud about the angel. It also has a rainbow above its head. The rainbow, of course, a symbol of God's covenant. Judgment, covenant, love, together, mixed together. And this angel straddles the seas and the land. And then one hand is upraised and another is with a scroll. And then you got this cloud and this rainbow. So this is what John is seeing. And out of the midst of this, there is a thundering. There's a cry like seven thunders. God speaking like a roaring lion. God's voice, the voice from on high, from the heavens, is thundering down. This reminds me of a passage in the book of Job that's very relevant here. In the 37th chapter, verse 5, Job says, God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things that we cannot comprehend. Amen. God does many things that we don't fully comprehend. And so that thunder that we see here in Revelation, we see it in Job. We talked about it today in Sunday school, in various passages between Amos and Hosea and Joel and Isaiah, of the thunder, the voice of God. Here's something that's important. We live in times that in many respects can be called a crisis of faith. In some instances, we're seeing many people coming to Christ and knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But we also see people falling away and persons rejecting the Lord. We see both. In our own country, we've seen all kinds of shifts in culture. From the moral majority in the 1980s to the woke generation today. Cultural shifts, cultural paradigms. But here's what I know. From then until now, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the same when, yesterday, today, and forever. God's love is constant when, yesterday, today, and forever. God gives us chance after chance after chance to accept Him and to follow Him. The question becomes, will we do it? Will we do it? So this brings us to a second point. We have received the Great Commission. You turn to Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, we have that Great Commission. Jesus had told the disciples and other followers that he would meet them at a mountain in Galilee. And they met. And it's so interesting when you look at the details of those verses. Some believed and others doubted. Isn't that so true about how things are? Some believed, some doubted. But then as he spoke, He said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him, and we are to make and given to also us through him to make disciples, to baptize, to share the good news. And how long are we to do it? Until Christ returns. Why are we studying the book of Revelation? What's the big message in Revelation? God returns. Jesus Christ returns. And God's reign is established permanently. So there we have it. That first commission. But you know, let's take a look at Revelation chapter 10, verse 5. Then the angel that I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven. He swore by the one who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and what is in it, the earth and what is in it, and the sea and what is in it. There will no longer be a delay. There will no longer be a delay. But in the days when the seventh angel will blow his trumpet, then the mystery of God will be completed, as he announced to his servants and prophets. You see, that mystery of God, the second coming, judgment, the millennial reign, the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth, that mystery will no longer be a mystery. But in between time, there are things for us to do. Because you hear about this mystery, there will no longer be a delay. But in the days when the seventh angel will blow his trumpet, then the mystery will be completed as he announced to his servants and prophets. You see, we live in a world that in many respects reflects the world that we find in Psalm 10. In Psalm 10, verses 1 through 5, we have the scripture. Lord, why do you stand so far away? Why do you hide in times of trouble? Well, this scripture is saying that the Lord is no longer standing what? Far away. He's coming closer and nearer. In arrogance, the wicked relentlessly pursue their victims. Let them be caught in the schemes they have devised. For the wicked one boasts about his own cravings. The one who is greedy curses and despises the Lord. Psalm 10, 1 through 5. In all his scheming, the wicked person arrogantly thinks, there is no accountability since there is no God. We live in that. We live in that world. There is no accountability since there is no God. But we know that's not true. There is accountability. But there is love, and there is mercy, and there is grace, and there is forgiveness, and there is restoration, and there is transformation of life. And we have a message to share. His ways are secure. Your lofty judgments have no effect on him. He scoffs at his adversaries. Yet we are asked to share the gospel. We can't make people accept it or receive it, but we are asked to share it. And you say, well, how do you know that? The last part of chapter 10 is very interesting. Of Revelation is very interesting. And the imagery is very powerful. And before we read verses 8 through 11, bear with me, if you would, and turn back to the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. Turn, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 2, and I'll pick up in verse 7. Pay very close attention to what is described in these verses. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 7, and going into chapter 3 through verse 4. Speak my words to them, whether they listen or refuse to listen, for they are rebellious. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And you, son of man, listen to what I tell you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving you. So I looked, and I saw a hand reaching out to me, and there was a written scroll in it. When he unrolled it before me, it was written on the front and the back, the words of lamentation, mourning, and woe. Kind of like those trumpets that were sounding, all those warnings, those harbingers, those warnings of things not right. He said to me, "Son of man, eat what you find here. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he fed me the scroll. "Son of man," he said to me, "feed your stomach and fill your belly with this scroll I am giving you." So I ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. Then he said to me, "Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them." In other words, Ezekiel was commanded. Excuse me. That was that thunder. Hopefully there won't be six more of those. Got your attention though, didn't it? Consume the word and share it. Do we consume this message? Do we digest it? Have we consumed it? Are we willing to consume it? Will we take it and meditate upon it and share it? Because here's what we know. In the book of Revelation, the gospel can be like honey, but it can also be bittersweet. Contradiction. I was talking with Grace this morning. I could not remember the candy. Some of y'all might can remember. I don't know if it was a Jolly Rancher. Grace said it was Crybabies. I don't know if any of y'all remember any of that, but it's a candy you could eat. It was green, and it's sour, but it's sweet. It's that bittersweet stuff. Main thing I think of when I think of sweet and sour, I think about chicken wings and what kind of sauce am I going to put on it? You can get a sweet sour sauce for that. Or I think about my favorite sweet, which is salted caramel. Bitter and sweet. Bitter and sweet. But how does this apply to the gospel? Now let's take a look at Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 and following. "Then the voice that I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, 'Go take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land.'" So this is coming from the throne room of God. This message is coming down, this voice. "So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, 'Take and eat it.'" Makes you think about communion, doesn't it? The body and the blood. "Take and eat it. It will be bitter in your stomach, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I ate it, my stomach became bitter. And they said to me, again, this is the message from on high. And they said to me, you must prophesy again about many nations, peoples, languages, and kings. Do you know what that is? That is the second commissioning. We are commissioned not just by Jesus when he came, but as we await for his return, and when he ascended into heaven, but as we wait for his return, we are commissioned and commanded to share the bittersweet gospel. To share the bittersweet gospel to all peoples, nations, languages, and kings. The commission, for lack of better terms, God is doubling down on the Great Commission. That's what that is. Doubling down. It's important. It's important that we are prepared for what is coming and that we share. Why is the voice, why is the message so bittersweet? It's sweet for the one who believes and accepts and is convicted of their sin, accepts the atonement that Jesus offered in his death on the cross, that accepts the eternal life that is offered. That accepts the love and the mercy and the grace and is willing to pick up his or her cross each and every day and follow Jesus as our Lord, as our Master, as the source of our light, our life, our strength. It is sweet. But for those who choose other paths, another direction, it is judgment. It's that bitterness. Now you're saying, that ain't politically correct. No, it's not. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that is that message of the gospel. It's bittersweet. So, have we eaten the scroll? Have we taken it? Have we eaten it? Are we digesting it? Are we allowing it to speak to us? It's a powerful message. Are we willing to share it? And are we also burdened by it for those to whom we need to share? Are we committed to sharing that message? Are we committing to not tire of being Christ-like? Do we know what our purpose on this earth is? Do we even know why we're here? And why God put us on this earth at this time? And why sometime along the way, persons shared with us the saving message of Jesus Christ, his Son, which was given freely for us, that we would not perish, but have life everlasting. How is our relationship with God? Is it strong? Is it weak? Is it sometimes on target? Do we sometimes get derailed? The answer is all of the above, isn't it? Lord, help us to draw closer to you in all that we do. Rick Warren shares some wisdom that I think is important that we ponder. Talking about ways and reasons why we might not digest the Scripture, why we might not accept the grace that is offered. Sometimes we're dealing with guilt, a lot of it. Not a single one of us here that's guilt-free. Not a single one of us. If I said we were, I'd be lying, right? We all know what guilt is. We know it. We all know what resentment and anger is too, don't we? Because let's think about it. Are we good people? It depends. It depends. We can be very kind and we can be very loving, but we can also be downright obnoxious, can't we? Don't catch me on a bad day, ask Carol. You know? Fear. 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 Oh my gosh. We have so many phobias. We can't name them all. And we're still discovering them. Fear. Materialism. And don't get me wrong. God gives us gifts, and they're gifts that can be used to further the kingdom. But we don't always do that, do we? Too oftentimes we further ourselves rather than furthering the kingdom. God gives us of his bounty and favors us. We're stewards. And if we thought we owned anything, we don't, even though the IRS might tax us for things that they think we own. But God owns it all. God owns all of it. All of it. And then approval. Approval of others. All of us have sought somebody's approval, hadn't we? And every one of us has been disappointed, hadn't we? That's that bittersweet thing. We've been approved. We don't have to go looking for it. We don't have to go searching for it. It's right here. It's right here. And we all have access to it. Every one of us. And the closing message of Revelation chapter 10, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. It's not over. We still have work to do. So this Labor Day, as we're eating hot dogs, hamburgers, whatever it is that we may be cooking up, maybe even some homemade ice cream, things like that, all that good stuff, as we think about all of that, may we also think about digesting the Word of God and the gospel. And although its message and its taste can be bittersweet, it is the light of the world. It is the light of the world. And we have been asked to be the messengers. The question is what? Will we do it?